When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Buffalo Happy Hour. Mike, what's up?
Dude, we are absolutely crushing. We are on... We started at, what, six?
I mean, yeah.
So 3 hours?
You're really giving people the back end insight of, like, what we do here?
Dude, we're doing 3 hours straight? We're doing good.
Three whiskey reviews, three episodes. Let's go hard.
Backlog,
bro,
baby.
Bro, you got some whiskey? We're good. We're almost good. Finishing this bottle here. You staying over the night? We doing bus stuff or what?
Oh, yes. So today's useless fact to kick us off. So I'm curious to see what you would do in this situation.
Okay.
In 2011, an Australian bartender found an ATM glitch that allowed him to withdraw way beyond his account balance. In a bender that lasted some 5 months, he spent around 1.6 mil of the bank's money. He threw lavish parties, chartered private jets, and paid off his friend's university fees. Later, he felt guilty and turned himself into the police.
Oh, that's nice of him to pay off his friend's university fees.
Right? For the boys.
Yeah.
1.6 mil pulled out of an ATM because he found a glitch.
So what happened? Did it just like literally just spitting out 20s?
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh my God, yeah. I need a box. Does anyone have a box?
Correct.
That's what happened?
It just kept providing money because of an ATM glitch.
Okay, so how long, if it's spitting out 20s?
Well, that's the thing.
How long does that take to spit out 1.6 mil of 20s?
It was 1.6 over time. So he kept redoing the glitch.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay. Oh, so he's a criminal.
He turned himself in. 100%. White collar crime, baby. Okay, gotcha. It was the greatest thing in the world.
Matt Bomer? Is this white collar episode or what?
So throw him under the bus, bro.
Oh, I love him, dude.
He bought his suits from an estate sale. Humble and hungry.
We talk about people that we would marry. Matt Bomer's one of them.
I would love to get food with him.
Food?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to come like... I'm trying to come out. I'm not live on air.
What type of food would you go to get Matt Bomer with?
Probably like a seasonal like strawberry nut infused like salad with some goat cheese and like a raspberry vinaigrette dressing. And we're sitting there, you know, eating a nice salad. Remember?
I don't
that
know
sal-
if I should be like concerned or slightly aroused
with
because
chicken
of that
on top.
Response. Okay.
Do you remember that salad from? It was a seasonal salad from Applebee's.
No.
It was a strawberry vinaigrette salad, and it was bomb. It was walnuts with like arugula and romaine.
All I know is I'm taking him to Gardenville to get that buffalo salad, bro.
The Pittsburgh salad?
Yeah, the Pittsburgh salad.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh salad with the french fries in it.
That's what I'm taking him for.
I don't know if he's going to want that. Dude's got like a 12-pack.
We're like bros, though, at that point. Like,
are you, though? No. That's somewhere I'd go with Wentworth Miller. I wouldn't go there with
Matt
Bomer.
That's fair.
Yeah. I wouldn't go there with Matt Bomer.
So you'd get a vinaigrette salad with Matt Bomer and a Pittsburgh salad with Wentworth Miller.
Wentworth Miller, I'm going to West Seneca. Matt Bomer, I'm going to Elmwood. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those things. And I'm dressing up.
For which one?
Matt Bomer. I'm dressing up. Wentworth Miller, I'm...
White tee? For Wentworth Miller? Like a white tee, like jeans and like kind of
like
Grease-esque?
GQ vibes for Wentworth Miller.
Okay.
Matt Bomer's like a... men's health, like business casual vibe.
Do you think Matt Bomer and Wentworth Miller would ever even like entertain the idea of getting together or no?
Wentworth Miller?
Yeah.
He probably would. He would think about it.
Yeah.
Matt Bomer, he's a little, I don't know, he's established. You know, he's doing his thing.
Well, no, I'm saying like them two together.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, got it. I misunderstood.
Like, do you think that they would get together or no?
I don't know. I don't think they're each other's types.
No.
Yeah. Good question for each of them.
Let's ask them.
We should drop in their DMs. They'll never respond. It's a good question, though. Would you ever date Matt Bomer?
They're both very attractive.
Very.
In different ways, though.
Yes.
Like, one is definitely more of a like you were saying, GQ vibe, and one of them is more like a blue collar vibe. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I've ever actually seen Wentworth Miller in something other than Prison Break.
I have, but through Instagram. So like real life, okay. Wentworth Miller.
What is he like in real life?
Kind of a spinoff of Prison Break. Seriously.
Really?
Like same as Matt Bomer with White Collar. You know, like pretty similar. It's like Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool. So I don't know. I just it's there. It's worth a conversation. Worth the conversation.
It's awesome that though you would get like a vinaigrette salad with Matt Bomer and like a Pittsburgh salad with Wentworth Miller.
Yeah.
Why both salads though? Like, are we just that self-conscious about our figure?
I mean, in front of them, yes. Yeah. But also, I'm not trying to bloat. Hello. But I feel like that they would appreciate that.
Now, would you go like a vodka drink, like a vodka soda splash at Cran, or are we talking beer?
No. No. A beer would be reserved for another, like, somebody else.
So you're going out with a girl at this point.
Yeah, but I'm the girl.
I don't think they would like that though. Like, I think Matt Bomer would like a guy.
I don't think so.
No?
No, he's very established in himself. He's very confident. You know, he owns him.
What about Wentworth?
I'll change.
I'll change.
You know, give me the hormones.
Are you taking the Bomer last name? Are you taking the Miller last name? Or are you having them take your last name?
Probably a hyphen.
Oh, you're going that route. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if Kelly Miller would be a good hyphen, though. I feel like that's a law firm more than a hyphen.
No. Name partner. Yeah, I think it'd be Miller Kelly, right? He's a more famous one. But, like, Kelly's more strong base.
What's your thought on Harvey Specter? Does he get into that category, or are you not even putting him into the Wentworth Miller? I mean, granted, he plays for another team, but like from your perspective, do you put him in that category?
Well, the problem with Suits is that it was recorded so long ago it's very difficult now seeing him as he is now, where I'm just like, dude, you're always going to be like 30.
Right.
Because that's what he was in Suits. Like clean shaven, chiseled, like ran all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like now he's damn near 50. He's got like a beard that's like white. Doesn't make any sense. You know, wears glasses. Like, what's happening?
What are your thoughts on a possible Suit spinoff? Are you into that or are you not?
Yeah, no. Suits is Suits, bro. Yeah. Suits is Suits. Where are you at with Last Kingdom?
We haven't watched it since. We just finished Suits.
Okay.
We literally just finished Suits. And I can't even begin to tell you how upset I was with that last episode.
Me too.
Like, that made me... Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Suits last season, skip to 5 minutes down the road. I don't even know. I'll put a timestamp, I guess. I don't know. I guess I'll do more work. But like,
well, no, just
skip
just
to
censor
this thing.
It. Just censor it.
No, like I'll
because I already know. So just censor
because
it.
People that have seen it and they're agreeing with us, they can listen to our reaction. But like, if you haven't seen it, skip to this time. Okay. Dude, as soon as Harvey got on his knee and he said, I'm going to marry you tonight, I checked out of the episode.
Yeah.
I was done. There's no reason, one, for you to propose at your friend's wedding.
Right.
That's insanely disrespectful.
Yes.
And two, have all of your friend's family sit there and watch this other person get married. Dude, I was so mad.
There's so much, there are so many better ways to do it.
Harvey.
Imagine her coming into Harvey's apartment or condo or whatever he had. Because we didn't know. You know, it was just like his kitchen and his fireplace.
Yeah. Right.
And he does it there. Or he does it at the office. Or like, or at her apartment. Or something. Like,
dude, the sexual tension between Donna and Harvey, the entire series, all eight seasons or whatever it was until the last season, the sexual tension that was there the entire series warranted its own episode for a marriage or an engagement or something.
They rushed it, dude.
You rushed the most anticipated thing of the entire nobody gave a shit about Mike and Rachel. Like, they were cute, for sure. She didn't show up in the entire last season. Super disrespectful. I don't care if you were pregnant, Meghan Markle. This was your show.
Oh,
for Lewis's or Donna's wedding, you should have been there, you nerd. But, like, that whole thing, like, Mike and Rachel, that's fine. But Donna and Harvey is what everybody wanted. And you rushed their entire engagement, their entire wedding, their entire move to Seattle in the last episode. One episode for all that information. That was such a travesty, man.
They just wrapped it up, dude.
So Gina and I were talking about this because we were, honestly, I'm not even kidding. Welcome back, everybody. But not even kidding, we were very upset with the way that it ended. And we started thinking, what series did you watch that you were genuinely happy with the way that it ended? What do you think, like, because I've heard Game of Thrones ended terribly. There's a lot of series that ended really bad. Obviously, I'm not at Last Kingdom.
Last Kingdom ended well.
Like, that whole last season made sense?
Ended well.
Okay.
Ended well. There's the thing that sucks is that every good series, you know it's ending. And you're trying to figure, you're going to hate the ending of Blacklist. But, like,
is it over?
I don't, it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
But they canceled it. So they ended it. So there's no more, like, there's no more of it. And the way that it ended makes sense. Like, everything makes sense. It all checks, like, whatever. Could there be a season 11? 1,000%.
Okay.
Just to kind of, like, you know, I don't fucking know.
Tie some loose ends.
Close doors,
yeah.
Right? Like, whatever. But, like, the way that it ends, it's like, okay, like, that door doesn't have to close. That door doesn't have to close. Like, it all makes sense. Like, we're good. But, like, The Last Kingdom, the way it ended, you're just like, that's, I like that. You know, like, I'm okay. I'm at peace. Like, I'm good. If they make a movie, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, I'm good. Other than that, like, yeah, GOT ended terribly. Sopranos ended terribly.
We were talking because our favorite shows, like, that we cycle through a lot.
Prison Break didn't end great.
Prison Break ended terribly. So, like, our favorite shows that we cycle through a lot are obviously The Office.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Right.
Those are three series that, like, if we want something just in the background while we either scroll on our phones or talk or play games or do something, like, that's on in the background. The Office is the only one, in my opinion, that ended correctly because Steve Carell left in season 7. Season 8 started. He's not there anymore. Could they have ended after season 7? No. And I feel like that would have been a situation where if they ended it after season 7, that would have been rushed and it would have been a terrible ending to the series. They started season 8 and season 9, and they started wrapping everything up in a bow to where that last episode, when Andy says, I wish I was aware that I was in the good old times before I actually left them. Like, that whole Dwight's wedding, everything kind of wrapped it up, and it was a perfect ending to the series. You might not like it because Steve Carell wasn't there, and Andy was a polarizing manager and all that stuff. Like, understandable. But you can't argue with the way that the show ended because they took the appropriate amount of time to wrap up the entire series before closing it off. Parks and Rec, on the other hand, they decided they wanted to open up the last season, like, a couple years after the series actually ended. Like, that whole series should have ended at the Unity concert.
Yeah.
That was the perfect ending. Leslie was going away. We didn't need to hear about her federal thing. We didn't need to hear about all that. That whole series ending at the Unity concert would have been the perfect bow on top. They didn't do it.
Yep.
And they decided to carry it on, and it was a terrible season.
Yep.
Same with Brooklyn Nine-Nine. They wanted to end it after that one, and then they got super political to where they started talking entirely about police brutality, which just wasn't needed.
Nope.
So there's very, very few shows that actually ended where you're comfortable with the way that it ended.
Yeah.
And The Office was one of them. I'm excited to get to The Last Kingdom because we will watch that now that Suits is done. But I was just so disappointed with the way that Suits ended because it felt like I just had to sneeze, but I just couldn't get it out, you know?
Where are you at in Last Kingdom?
We're still only 3 episodes in. We haven't watched anything.
So what was the last episode?
I can't even remember at this point.
Are you going to rewatch the last episode before you watch the next episode?
Mm,
Because there's recaps, but yeah. Still.
We'll probably just watch the recap.
So, at this point, you understand there's, like, Bebbanburg, and there's, like, the different families and the different cities and things. The way it wraps up, you understand all of it, and then as it wraps up, you're just like, that checks out.
Is it done and over with now?
Yeah.
How many seasons were there?
Not that many.
Okay.
Yeah, not that many. So when it ends, you're just like, I'm at peace. I'm at peace, and I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, that was a good show. Thank you for that. And you're pissed that it got canceled because you're just like, why the fuck? Like, there are so many people watching the show, and it's underrated. It really is. It really is underrated.
So did you watch, you kind of started Manifest, right? But you thought it was too, like, weird?
Yeah. Didn't do anything
with it.
Didn't
get into it? Yeah.
No.
So, like, the way that ended was somewhat okay. Stranger Things, I'm interested because I feel like they're at the point where they're dragging it on way too long. And
same with Walking Dead.
Oh, Walking Dead should have ended like 7 seasons ago, dude.
Plus. Yeah.
That was brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they started to fear the Walking Dead. Did you watch Pearson at all?
No.
Are you going to?
No.
No? We're probably going to watch it just because I feel like Harvey does make some cameos.
Dude, I straight up stopped The Walking Dead after episode like 7 of the first season.
I'm talking Pearson for Pearson Spector.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that either. Okay. Yeah.
But you stopped watching Walking Dead when?
Like episode 7 of the first season. Because I was like, this, okay, like it's over with.
Yeah.
And then they continue to drag it on and now it's like a thing. I'm like, this is so dumb.
So I think we talked about this before, but Walking Dead was my whiskey.
Yeah.
Kind of like pathway because Steve would come over with some whiskey and we would drink whiskey while watching it. So, like, I've always had a soft spot for Walking Dead, and I used to watch that, like, Joel McHale, the Talking Dead after where he recapped the episodes because I was such a nerd. But then, like, they kept surviving after all this, and I'm like, all right. In a zombie apocalypse like that, I feel like if it lasts too long, then it's unrealistic because it's like, how are you getting out of all these situations unscathed?
Yeah, it's like man versus wild.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Man versus food, too.
I mean, he stopped for health reasons, but yeah.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, it's a great point. I feel like there's so many. Well, the other thing that sucks is like all the back end elements and variables that nobody realizes where the network might just straight up cancel your show, you know? And like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So,
that's what happened to Designated Survivor. They just canceled it.
Same with Last Kingdom. They canceled it, but they were able to end it in a way that made sense.
That's good.
Yeah. So you'll like it.
Yeah.
You'll like it. I'm excited for you to watch it so we can continue talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not like GOT.
Well, I never watched GOT either.
No, but I'm saying it was from like a magic and all that nonsense.
Yeah. It was more of Outlander crossover.
Right.
But now Outlander has been taking way too long to get there. And I feel like even that series now is getting to the point where they're just dragging it on for way too long. But I think that from what I've heard is this next series is being filmed entirely in Scotland. Like Scotland, they're going back to Scotland, which I'm getting excited about because I love Scotland.
Right.
I got an interesting fact for you today because I found this and I was like, this is a really interesting thing. It actually probably would have been better suited for our first episode when we started talking about like politics and stuff like that. But I have a really interesting fact that I'm interested to hear your feedback on because I don't understand why the BBC would ever do this. But in 2009, Rage Against the Machine was asked to perform a censored version of Killing in the Name on live BBC radio.
And they refused.
Once on air, Zach DeLaRocha then proceeded to scream the lyrics, "Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me," repeatedly before being cut off. BBC host quickly apologized.
Yeah.
So
I remember that. I remember researching that same fact.
In that situation, and you're asking, you're the BBC, and you're asking a band that wrote a song about government censorship.
Anti-establishment.
Why would you ask them to censor themselves before performing that song? I thought that was fascinating when I heard that. It's like, what are you even thinking? Like, that type of media just so oblivious to what is going on, to the fact that they literally suggested that?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They, Oh, dude, I love it because it really goes to show how unaware they really are to what's happening. Like, oh, they're top five Billboard. Like, oh, they should be on our show. They should perform at the end of our show.
But censor what you're saying.
Yeah, but like, hey, because you're going to be on TV, you can't do this and this. Let's pitch it. Okay, yeah, that's great. It's Rage Against the Machine. They're huge. Everyone loves them. And the lead singer is just like, oh, who's calling? Like, hey, this is John, whatever his name is, you know? And like, hey, I'm Cindy with the BBC, and we want you to perform, but like, we... You know, obviously because it's going to be on TV, we need you to censor, you know, the actual, like, F-bomb. What are your thoughts? Like, would you do this to, like, help grow your brand? And the lead singer sitting there literally understanding their side and just outright saying, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
So now I'm just going to respond in the best way possible. Same way as the South Park creators and writers getting sued by Yelp. So they respond to the lawsuit as a Yelp review. Same exact thing. Like, how obviously dumb are you? You know, like, it's just appalling that happens. And I'm sure it happens all of the time. It's just crazy. Because there's some semblance that they think that they would do that because of the amount of views and attention that would come to their band. They don't need it anyways. They don't care.
Do you think as a culture we overemphasize the necessity of money, and yeah, we don't focus on, like, we use money as a necessity instead of a tool?
We use money as a necessity instead of a tool.
Like, we think of money as, like, I need it rather than a tool to grow yourself. Like, in that situation where the BBC is saying, we'll pay you money, and the Rage Against the Machine is saying, we don't need the physical more money. Like, we could use it, obviously, but we don't need more money. Because we don't use money as a necessity. We use it as a tool to continue to grow our band. So if we don't, like, you and I.
Yeah, literally, you and I, like, our business.
You and I.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I would never sell ourselves for money because we're not doing this for money.
Right.
Whereas I think a lot of people generally treat money as a necessity rather than just like a benefit. Like, do you think that exists a lot throughout our culture right now?
It has to. Yeah, it has to.
Or do you think it's just greed where people just, they don't treat it as a necessity. They just want more of it.
So So she's technically my stepmother-in-law. We wake up before everybody else in the house and drink coffee. And it's amazing because then we solve world problems.
Oh, yeah.
She's a Democrat. She's a classic Democrat. She's always been a registered Democrat. She's never going to change. I'm me. And what's funny about it is, and I say it like that because she knows that I vote red. However, she also knows that I'm very middle and I'm very open-minded and I can have actual conversations about it all. And we have amazing conversations and we love each other. Like, there's no harm, no foul. Like, it's really good questions and answers. And we go back and forth on multiple different things, whether it's politics, religion, whatever the case, doesn't matter. Hot topic, we talk about it. And while we're solving these problems, we're two to three coffees deep. And it's like 7 a.m., you know, and we're going back and forth and we're talking about, you know, Trump or whatever the case. And I said, listen, you know why. And she, you know, she, all of her walls are down, you know, and she breaks down and she goes, yeah. And it's money and greed. It's money and greed. No matter what the problem is, if you boil it down enough,
yeah,
it's always humans. experiencing greed and wanting money,
right,
no matter what it is. And it's just incredible. It's incredible because if you remove those two things, if you just remove those two things, there is so much peace to be had.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
So this is super interesting because I don't know how I was going to fit this into our like trifecta of recording today, but I wanted to, and this is the perfect time to plug it because of power and greed and money comes people doing a lot of weird and different things. Did you watch the Quiet On Set documentary yet from Nickelodeon?
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Because obviously, Brian Peck is a creep ass. Like, there's no reason for him to diddle Drake. Like, there's no reason for that at all. But what is your perception of Dan Schneider? Because Gina and I had a long conversation around how I feel Dan Schneider is versus how she feels Dan Schneider is. Because I feel like, first of all, we have a very big issue with not starting series at the first episode. We've done this multiple times. Schitt's Creek, we started at episode 2 because we didn't know there was an episode 1. Because as soon as Netflix recommended the series, it was episode 2. So we missed the entire part of their house being raided and then moving to Schitt's Creek. We completely missed it until the second time that we watched the series. Same thing with Quiet on Set. We tried to find it wherever platform it was.
HBO.
And the first, it was on a couple. I think it was on Hulu too. And the first,
I thought it was only HBO.
No, it was on Hulu. Or it was on another platform too. And the first episode that it gave to us was episode 4. So we watched episode 4 right off the bat with Drake. Completely missed the entire context of episode 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, 100%. It was crazy. But I think Dan Schneider is a power-hungry loser that is just emphasizing his power. I don't think that he's a creep like Brian Peck is. I think that he's just, I'm going to get this young chick to massage my shoulders because I can. I don't think that there's anything sexual with Dan Schneider. Did you watch all 4 episodes?
Of course.
Yeah.
There's a rumor, because of what Amanda Bynes came out and talked about, the rumor is the agreement that she has with her parents, where her parents own everything.
Conservatorship?
Yeah. The conservatorship, she can't actually talk about it. But the rumor is that she had a kid and then an abortion at 13 with Dan Schneider.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Based off of what she said since it came out and what she's tweeted. That's the rumor.
This feels terrible.
They've kind of alluded to that in the series. It was like episode 2 or 3 where they were just like, they spent a lot of time together. No. Before that, they spent a lot of time together. There was like hours where she was in his office and no one knew what was going on or what they were discussing or talking about. That's when it could have happened, per se. I think that you're not wrong. I think that there's an element of him being a creep ass. I think that there's an element of him being power hungry and just used to being the Nickelodeon golden boy. I also think he's a pervert. I think he's got a foot fetish like Rex Ryan. And I think that there's that happening. There's also 3 other pedophiles that are involved in Nickelodeon. Kenan Thompson has came out and he goes, I urge Nickelodeon to continue doing investigations. He's not fully talking about what he's either endured, went through, or whatever the case. I think that there's more to that that he's not talking about now, for whatever reason. My initial reaction, because your question was, what is your reaction to the thing, right? Like, my initial reaction to it is in episode 1, it opens with, I'm glad we're finally at a time where we can talk about this. And I vocalized my thoughts immediately, no filter. I looked at Colleen and I said, pause it. And she's like, she thought I had to like go pee. And she paused it. And I go, that's bullshit. If there's something happening to kids and there's pedophiles on site, you don't wait 17 years to talk about it, period. You kill the pedophile, in my opinion. Just remove them off Earth. They don't belong here. And then secondly, you say something. You no matter what it is, no matter what it costs. And I'm glad that there were certain women that came forward and sued and like came through and like the Me Too. That's the first time I've heard anything positive out of Me Too.
Right.
Like, okay, because when Me Too was going around, we're just like, great, it's like a money grab or like surface level. Like it's a money grab for women to go after like Bill Cosby for like 34 years ago. This happened at a party when everyone's doing coke and blow, like whatever the case. But all of that aside, that was my initial reaction to the series. I was pissed that somebody waited 17 goddamn years to actually call out a pedophile. Yeah. That shouldn't exist in society. Those people should get dropped with a 9mm immediately and just we move on. Yeah. Like, you don't belong here. And the fact that he got hired by Disney pisses me off to no end to work for Zach and Cody's, like the sweet life of Zach and Cody. That dude needs to literally just get sodomized, tortured, batteries hooked up to his nutsack, and just killed. Yeah. Like, go away.
I feel like when we were watching that, though, and again, this might be a little controversial because I feel like that series had a lot of points where it was just like, okay, this Brian Peck dude needs to be executed right now.
Yeah.
But there was also a lot of stuff that is like, you're stretching this quite a bit. And I don't think that it like was what? Nearly as bad. Like the episode that they were talking about with Zoe 101 where they squirted the toothpaste on her face and they're like, that's a cum shot. I'm like, okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later on, they had another instance of a cum shot where the kid sneezed and boogers went all over her face. It's like, is that really what they were trying to do there? Or is it funny for a kid to see somebody sneeze and snot go on someone else's face? Like, I feel like there was a ton of situations where it's 1,000% warranted to execute Brian Peck. Like he's that dude is literally the scum of the earth. One, because I'm obsessed with Drake Bell. I think he's one of the nicest dudes and super talented. And I fell in love with Nickelodeon because of Drake and Josh. Like Drake Bell was my hero for so long. And Brian Peck should just be in jail for the rest of his life and just killed. But like there was a lot of situations during that show that discounted a lot of it because I feel like they were grabbing at too many straws. Like and the whole sneezing on somebody's face. It's like, no, dude, that wasn't that.
But that's not Brian Peck.
No, 100%. And right. Again, I'm not saying anything positive about Brian Peck. I'm saying about the series of Quiet on Set and how they tried to point out way too much stuff to discredit all the crazy stuff because they could have gone on and made an entire 2 episodes about Drake Bell's relationship with Brian Peck and made it such an investigative journalism that really made everybody super sad about what happened. But they filled it with nonsense that I feel like they were just fishing. Like the Ariana Grande stuff where she was milking the potato. Like that's creepy as fuck. Like that shouldn't happen. But then they also supplemented it with like a doctor's visit where they were tickling some kid's feet. Like, sure, in this context, it's creepy, but also don't ever tell me you've never tickled kids' feet because it's funny to get a kid laugh by tickling them. So that's not inherently creepy, but you're trying to grasp at straws to make this thing that's extremely gross even creepier when you don't have to do that because there's so much evidence that makes you understand already how weird this is, but now you're just trying to pull at random things like tickling someone's feet, even though it's inherently funny to tickle a kid's feet or to sneeze on someone's face and calling it a cum shot. That I was just like, some of this stuff is just you're just grasping at straws and it's losing me a little bit. Like episode two, I was just like, I don't even want to watch this anymore because this is just grasping at things.
Yeah, I mean, not wrong, you know.
It's just it's a very disturbing thing to go through when your entire life was so wrapped around Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was also weird to watch it back and as an adult say that I understand where these journalists are coming from, but I also understand that there has to be you can't look at everything through a lens of this is creepy because if you do, life is creepy.
Right. And outside of that, the other thing that I thought was fascinating was the fact that Drake could just go to the courthouse with no paparazzi.
Yeah.
Because of the time. Because of the year that it was going on.
Right.
You know, like, And he acknowledged it. He's sitting there and he's wearing that like horrendous suit. And it was just the worst color ever. And his hair is amazing. And
I just love him. He's such a cool dude.
He looks fake.
Yeah.
And you know, he's obviously going through like years of therapy, and he's talking about it, and he goes, we have to remember the time frame, and it was so different because I wasn't getting bombarded with paparazzi to go to the courthouse, and I was like, how though?
Yeah. Like the one time you want paparazzi, it's not happening.
Right. Like it's crazy that nobody was there to capture that. You know, and he's listed as John Doe on the lawsuit because he's a minor. Just insane. Absolutely insane.
And then he got
a slap on the wrist. It's just gross.
The one person I feel absolutely, I mean, there's a lot of people I feel terribly for. I mean, Amanda Bynes being one of them. She looks like she's gone through it all right now. Like she's, I'm sure, struggling a lot mentally. Drake Bell looks like he's unscathed, even though it's all internal, but he still looks beautiful. Like he's a good looking dude.
Genetics.
Yeah. The one person
you
feel.
You see his mom, dude, in that photo by the pool table?
Yeah.
Woof.
One person I feel terrible for is Drake's dad.
Me too.
Like he knew from the beginning that this dude was a creep ass. And
his mom, Brian Peck, ex-wife ruined it.
Yeah. Brian Peck literally convinced the ex-wife that he was good.
Yep.
And his dad knew all along. And I couldn't imagine having this gut feeling for my entire life and then actually having this thing resonate and be possible and happened. I don't even know what I would do, dude. I would lose my mind.
Yeah, dude. What broke me is when the interviewer asked the dad, like, what did you do? Like, how did you feel when you found out that it was Drake? And it was the side angle.
Yeah.
Camera shot of the dad, and he goes, oh, I felt terrible. Are you kidding me? And then he broke, and I'm like, fuck. Yeah. Like, that, like, he's reliving it. You know, like, he's right now in that same exact second of when he found out, and he's experiencing it all over again, and I just felt horrible for him. Horrible. You know, and like, Drake is trying to be like I know enough. Like I'm well versed enough to handle this situation. Like I don't need my dad. Like I can do this on my own.
Yeah.
And I've been there with my dad. Like we all go through that. Like the 16 to 20 time frame. Like you know more than your parent.
Sure.
You know, like it. And then that happens. You know, and it's just awful. Like I feel so bad for him.
I feel like we have so many instances now as a civilization where child stars rarely come out the other side in better shape than they were when they were currently child stars. Like you see Macaulay Culkin is a good example of that. And that was years ago, dude. And that wasn't even a bad situation. That was living and working with Moira Rose. I mean, what else as a kid would you rather have than working with Catherine O'Hara?
Yep.
Like she was awesome. And he still came out the other side completely destroyed because child stars are just, they're not meant for this.
No.
Do we ever get to a point where we just not include children in some of this stuff? Like we don't make them child stars? Like where do we go from here? Because we have so much evidence that they just never come out the other side well.
Yeah, but the problem is that you're always going to want kids involved in film.
Yeah.
Specifically film, not just TV, but film, just because it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes it make sense because you're watching something where it's like, yeah, a 30-year-old is not portraying a 12-year-old. You know, like it's never going to go away. The thing that needs to change is the laws surrounding it, which isn't there. They're there, but they're not there. You know,
but like even Macaulay Culkin, he was never abused.
We don't know. Was he? Maybe. He says he's not.
Yeah.
He was super close to Michael. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, like you don't know until you know.
Right.
No one knew that it was Drake until the series dropped. People found out. Like that one bald guy, he's like, no, I have no idea who it is. Like to this day, I don't know. And they're like, oh, and then Drake shows up and then sits down in his suit. And it's just like, I'm here to tell my story. And you're like, holy fuck. And that's when he comes out and tells you, and like that's when it all clicks. You're like, that's why you went missing in Florida?
Yeah.
You know, like, dude.
I just feel like it's so crazy that they allow this to happen, and still there's no, like, there's no movement to stop it from happening.
Yeah.
Like, Hollywood should just be burned to the ground. Is that where we're at right now, where we just start fresh?
And you can say the same thing about politicians with the Afghan withdrawal and just the mishandling of the war in general for the last 25 years. It's just as impactful. It's just as impactful. You have service members committing suicide in the VA parking lot because they can't get treated. For what? We invaded Iraq for what? Because we had this false pretense that we can just kill terrorists because of a blanket verbiage that was passed through Congress. Like,
do you think our generation is the one to fix this, or do you think that it's just never going to get fixed and it's going to be an inherent problem we're humans?
I feel like our generation is not the one to fix it per se, but we're the ones that we're a part of the cycle where the hard times are created and we're going to solve it. Like, we're our grandparents. Same thing. Our grandparents fought in World War II.
Who was that?
In the Korean War.
What generation was that nerd from that literally tried to pass legislation that said pedophilia is a sexual orientation?
Yeah, that person should get hung in public and we all go watch at like town square.
Was that somebody from our generation, or was it from a generation older?
Older. Okay. I believe it was older.
Because I don't understand how we could even get to the point of getting rid of this when we have people like that exist.
Well, correct, yeah.
And people that entertain it, though. Like, it wasn't shut down.
No. It's a cancer. It's a cancer in society, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's terrible. You can't make that normal. And in any society that it is normal, like, I don't want to be a part of that society.
Right.
I just can't.
Does it all come down to money somehow?
Or greed?
Yeah, or power.
Greed and power, for sure. Yeah.
And I feel like these are...
And if it's a child star, you might have a money motive.
Yeah.
But it's definitely greed. Because it's a selfish act.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I just don't get it.
No,
it's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, those people should be dropped in boiling water.
Yeah. Ugh. Would you drink that broth, though? I don't know if I would drink that broth.
No. Goodness gracious.
I have no idea how long this episode is. If you guys have stuck around for these three episodes, first of all, it's 9:30 here. We've been recording for 3.5 hours. I don't even know how we still have stuff to talk about, but we're doing round four after that. No, I'm just kidding. We'll stop here. Honestly, this was fun. I like recording whiskey reviews before and then recording episodes after, where we get kind of lubed up and then we can just talk about literally everything, including pedophilia.
Dude, you can't
say
lubed after what we're talking about.
Yeah, we can. Dude, Brian Peck is so happy I just brought that reference back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I've been using that way too much, though, with Gina. Like, we'll be talking about random shit and I'm like, yo, Brian Peck's super happy with me about this. It's disgusting. But thank you all for joining, especially today. This wasn't the most cheery topic, but like, this is stuff that this is the whole premise of our podcast, is we wanted to be able to sit down and talk as if we're friends and bring you guys along with us, because we're not friends in real life. We just do this as an act for you guys. But appreciate you all joining today's episode. Make sure you subscribe. Leave a comment down below of what you would like us to talk about. We've covered a lot of topics today in these 3.5 hours, and we really appreciate you guys spending some time with us today and hanging around and hopefully drinking with us, too, if you can. And if you have been drinking with us, we always recommend to drink responsibly, be a good person. And Michael,
do not litter.
We're out.
When you need need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.